Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, we have now finished up the seven attributes that Peter tells us the believers are to add to their faith in 1 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7, and we're ready to move on to verse 8 and following, but that's connected with this list of seven. Verse 8 says, "For if these are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." If these things are in you, is the way the Old King James puts it, and abound, if you have these things, then certain results will follow. So, yes, we're leaving the list, having worked our way through it one by one, starting with virtue and concluding with agape love, but we're not done with the concept of what we are dealing with here. This whole section might be entitled Developing Your Faith. And we learn the reason for developing your faith, the effort that is required to do so, the areas that are to be developed, and then the result of this development. What takes place when you do add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And that's where we're going on the Beacon Broadcast today, October 30th, and thankful that the financial gifts of our radio listeners enable us to do this. So let's talk about it. Let's kind of back up a step or two and look at the big picture. Why are we to add these things to our faith? Well, because, as we read in verse 4, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. For this very reason. In other words, because you have escaped the world's corruption, because you can develop these things, God has enabled you to do so. You couldn't do that if you hadn't escaped the world's corruptions. Because you want to do this, because God's given you a desire, and again, you wouldn't want to if you hadn't escaped the world's corruption. Because you are a partaker of the divine nature, and therefore are developing Christ-likeness, and this is what Christ-likeness looks like, and because you have been given divine promises, great and precious promises, large and valuable promises, big promises. And the privilege of such promises is to be able to develop Christ-like characteristics in your life. And these great and precious promises have much divine power attached to them. When we lay hold of the promises by faith, they enable us to accomplish great things in our life. And what does that look like? It looks like this, adding to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and so forth. To be able to do these things is a big deal. So, gratitude for God's grace is the reason for developing these things in our lives. God's bounty toward us demands our grateful response. Do I hear an amen? I surely hope so. But beyond the reason for development, we also see the effort that is required, and that's the beginning of verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith, two phrases to define engaged effort. Giving all diligence, make every effort, it requires work, and add to your faith, supplement your faith, mix in with your faith, furnish your faith. We looked at all of these concepts earlier. I'm just reviewing at this point. But there is effort required on our part, and then we have learned the areas to be developed, which are virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. But now we come to the results of this. And that brings us now to verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, certain things are going to happen. If these things are yours and abound. Number one, you have to possess them, but if you're going to get the full benefit of what Peter wants you to benefit from, you're going to have these in some kind of significant measure. If these things are yours, that's simple possession, and abound, that's significant possession, in great measure, not full measure, because that awaits our arrival in heaven, but not so small that nobody can detect it either you or anybody else, nobody but God himself. But these things ought to be abounding in us. And when they do, they equip us to be productive. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful. Barren is the idea of worthless, idle, unable to contribute to the work of Christ, to the body of Christ, to the building up of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know what barrenness is in the physical realm. And here's a barrenness that exists in the spiritual realm. And there are some Christians that are, well, so lacking in development that they are spiritually barren. They are unable to add anything to the body of Christ. They're so bound up in their own problems, and they can't seem to get a handle on their own problems, and they can't seem to develop enough maturity in their own Christian life to be able to reach out and touch the life of anybody else. They are constantly being ministered to by others, but they have precious little capacity to minister to others themselves. That is sad. I hope you're not in that category. And if you are, what do you need? Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and so forth. Because if these things are in you and abound, then you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. You will not be barren nor unfruitful. You will be productive. Fruitful, in one respect, is the exact opposite of barren. A woman who is barren cannot produce a child. A woman who is fruitful, if we're talking about children, is one who has had a number of children and is able to have many children. She is the opposite of barren. She is fruitful. Well, that's what we want to be as Christians. We don't want to be barren. We don't want to be worthless. We don't want to be unable to contribute. We don't want to be idle when it comes to the work of Christ. We want to do our part. We want to contribute something significant to the work of God. Well, if these things are in you and abound, that's exactly what they enable you to do. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful. You'll be able to produce fruit, tangible, real, living fruit that will contribute to the work of Christ upon the earth. And furthermore, it prevents us, rather, from being backslidden. You go on to verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. If these things are in you and abound, you will not be barren nor unfruitful. But if you lack these things, you are short-sighted even to blindness. Or another way of translating it is blind being nearsighted. In other words, so nearsighted that you cannot see. So focused on the present that you can't see anything into the future. So focused upon your own little world that you can't peer into the Word of God or the work of God, you're nearsighted to the point of blindness. He that lacks these things is short-sighted or nearsighted, even to blindness. That's pretty bad. Remember that cartoon character, I think he was Mr. Magoo, who was so nearsighted, he just went around bumping into things all the time? He was a menace to himself and others. Well, I know members of the body of Christ like that, members of churches like that. Like the proverbial bull in the china shop, they just go around bumping into this and bumping into that and bumbling in this and bumbling in that. And it seems like they are all liability and no blessing. Sometimes we talk about Christians who are a mixed blessing. They're the ones who contribute something on the one hand, but sometimes seem to offset their contribution with weaknesses that keep people scrambling to clean up the mess on the other hand. But then there are Christians who don't even seem to have any offsetting positives. They just seem to be nothing but a liability to the church. Sometimes our reaction to people like that is to get that person out of here. We come to an end of our patience. But I don't think that's the God-honoring response. But people like that need to be challenged. Why are you this way? Why is it that everything you attempt to do seems to result in disaster? Every relationship that you develop seems to turn sour. Every work that you get involved in seems to backfire and boomerang and destruct. You're like the proverbial person who's all thumbs when it comes to the work of the Lord. Nothing you do seems to be fruitful or helpful. Now, obviously, when somebody's like that, you have to consider the possibility that they've never been born again. But Peter is talking here about people who presumably are saved, but are just very immature. And he says, if you don't have these seven qualities in your life, then you're going to be nearsighted to the point of blindness, and you're going to be more liability than you are asset to the body of Christ. Now, I don't want that for my life. I don't think you want that for your life. So how do we avoid that? Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Because if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.